If you're looking for trouble, you've come to the right place. The baddest biker bar in the investment world, the Danger Zone. Yes, this is the Danger Zone on Money Life. It's where we get the latest take from the experts at New Construct, where they evaluate securities on a scale of most attractive to most dangerous. They do this by bringing together discounted cash flow analysis and forensic accounting. They dig in at the footnotes level and work their way up. And sometimes they find that if you're just looking at the surface level, what you find is misleading. If it's misleading and it works in your favor, well, that would make something attractive. But if it's working against you, that makes something dangerous. Learn more about how it works at newconstructs.com. David Trainer is the president at New Constructs. David, always great to have you here on Money Life.
It's great to be back, Chuck. Thank you.
Who's in the danger zone this week?
Root.
Danger, danger.
Root. It is ticker symbol R-O-O-T. And this is a company, like, this is not a company where we're going, oh, you know, automatic zombie stock and the rest. What's the problem here?
This is a great example, Chuck, of just Wall Street playing with the numbers. And the funky gamma spreads and gamma plays and option activity. Look, on April 11th, Wells Fargo analyst had a target price of $12 for Root and then raised it to 64, 533%, but didn't change the rating. Left it at equal weight. So if you ever wonder whether or not Wall Street's kind of playing a game, I think they're playing a game with Root, and it's been a pretty popular game. The stock's gone up a bunch, but we call this a meme stock. It's very unattractive or unattractive rating, and we just want investors to get out and maybe leave Wall Street holding the bag instead of them holding the bag.
Well, what happened with this company? When you say it had a target price of $12, I mean, this was a stock that in February was trading at like 8.5, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And now it's trading in the mid 60s as we record this. So there has to have been some sort of catalyst here. I mean, this is a company, it's not new. This company's been around for several years. So what the heck happened?
Yeah. The executives reported that they were making money. They actually grew cash. But our models show that the free cash flow has been very negative and remains quite negative. Look, through the latest 10K, we're seeing negative $67 million, or, you know, a negative 25% free cash flow yield. Now, based on the new enterprise value, that free cash flow yield is much less negative. It's only 6% because the stock went up so much. But, you know, I guess we're just not seeing the profits that management is claiming.
This is, I mean, as stock charts go, this is one of the wilder ones I've looked at, because you get to the beginning of 2022 and this was a $50 stock, and it basically went down and got to where it was under $5 a share, hung around there, and now it's back suddenly, like, again, in the last less than 2 months, back in the 60s. You and I always talk about everything that's much, much deeper than charts, but if I showed you this chart before you dug in, would you just kind of go, yeah, that's a chart that, no way, right? Like, is
meme stock. It's meme stock. It's a meme stock. This is one of those that is, I wish it had been on our radar sooner. I mean, I'm sure when it was trading at $300 or $400 back in 2021, like a lot of the other things we ended up putting on a zombie stock list, it looked even worse. I mean, we show no profitable history for this company, and management's claiming cash grew, but, you know, we're not buying it. Our numbers tend to be a little bit better than what you get from Wall Street, and we're showing very different performance.
So in this case, like, obviously, you've got a stock that's a problem, but you've got the analytical reports that are a problem. I mean, you know, if nobody saw this coming and everything was that far off, what does that tell you? My assumption is that if you and I had spoken about this stock 8 weeks ago, before it went on this big run, that you would have been telling me it had a fair value below what it was trading at then. The stock has now gone up, you know, tenfold. Is the value, an appropriate value, still in the single digits?
No, I think it's just a great example of Wall Street manipulating things and playing a game. I think, you know, the institutions are in on the meme stock trades. I think because they have order flow, they see where the stocks are going before they move, right? And so They love to drum up these crazy runs because they can ride it all the way out and sell it to unsuspecting retail investors before it goes down, because they know when the tide's turning before it turns. But yes, you're right, Chuck. We're showing that the stock's got an economic book value of under, you know, negative 84 bucks, right? I mean, this is a unprofitable business with debt. The idea that investors are ever going to, I take that back. They don't have debt. They do have preferred capital. So the idea that investors, equity investors, are going to, you know, ever see a penny of profits, we think is pretty low.
Is this a stock that goes to zero? I mean, economic book value of negative 84, is there a no growth value, a fair market value on this stock? Because it's not 66 bucks.
Yeah, no, I mean, that is the no growth value, right? And so, I think this is Wall Street manipulating Main Street, because the required performance improvements to get to $65 a share are really kind of outrageous. I mean, you got to put in margins that are probably better than most any other insurance company in the history of the world. And, you know, you're still not talking about a valuation that is going to be remotely close to 60 bucks a share.
We always talk about catalysts. You always tell me hard to be able to, you know, figure them out. Crystal ball is broken. But in this particular case, I mean, the catalyst appears to be that, yes, they said they were profitable, which I know you think is maybe a trick of accounting here as well. So does that mean the downside catalyst is just that, like, somebody goes, hey, Emperor's not wearing any new clothes, or they get to the first time where they don't show profits again or whatever? I mean, if it swings this much, this fast, does it really need a catalyst?
I mean, the catalyst can be anything, right? And that's one of the things really working to warn our client base about, is that, look, we're going into probably one of the most important earnings seasons in a long time, with a market this overvalued, with the Fed on the line about needing to cut rates when interest or inflation is going in another direction. We've got China, we've got the Middle East. You know, it's a pretty unsavory concoction with so many stocks this overvalued and stocks like this going on some huge run. What's it gonna be that's gonna finally kind of be the straw that breaks the camel back? I don't know. I mean, look at Tesla, for example. I mean, Musk has been able to hold off, you know, the truth from having an impact on things for years and years. And things keep blowing up and it doesn't seem to bother him. And he can promise that there's gonna be some amazing Mars or robotaxi in the future, and people say, okay, great, we'll just ignore all the bad news. Look. Markets can stay rational longer than people can stay solvent. That's a famous Warren Buffett saying. You know, it is what it is. It's hard to argue with that. Chuck, you keep asking me when. I wish I could tell you when.
Well, so let's then go to the other side of irrationality here. One of the things that I do know about Root was that the last time it had a big spike was basically there was talk of a buyout bid. So we're always asking about stupid money risk. Is the stupid money risk already priced in? Is there any stupid money risk here left? What are we talking?
Well, you know, the thing about stupid money, you know, and stupid in general, is hard to predict as well. But I think, look, a lot of times Wall Street hedge funds, they use that buyout as bait to bring people in. And look, if it didn't happen the first time, maybe people looked, maybe they were interested and then saw something they didn't like. And I think that's going to be a red flag for anybody else coming in later. So if usually in a situation like this, where you've got a really horrifically unprofitable business, their only hope is a Hail Mary, white knight coming in and buying them out. And if somebody already looked and turned it down, kind of unlikely that someone else is going to come in.
Well, you know what they say.
Stupid is, stupid does, sir.
And in this case, Root, R-O-O-T, it is the... It's not the stupid investment of the week. That was my old thing. It is the Danger Zone pick of the week from David Trainer. David, great stuff as always. Thanks so much for joining me.
My pleasure, Chuck. Thank you.
David Trainer is the president and founder at New Constructs, which is online at newconstructs.com and on Twitter at New Constructs. David's on Twitter or X at The Real D Train 37. We are heading for home on this edition of Money Life. Up next, it's market call time. James Abate from the Center Funds will be here when we come back.
Oh, wow. This is actually pretty dangerous.